What is the role of the moral virtues in the spiritual life? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is the intro to spiritual theology, episode 20. This week, we are going to discuss the moral virtues. Now, last week, we talked about the prayer of the proficient. The week before, we introduced the illuminative way, which is the second way of the interior life. This week, we're going to turn our attention to adorning ourselves to the virtues as we attempt to model our lives after Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, the purgative way is negative insofar as focuses a lot on doing penance, overcoming mortal sin, overcoming intentional venial sins, doing mortification, casting off things that are weighing our souls down. In the illuminative way, one aspect of it, as we've been discovering, is that it becomes positive insofar as we want to try to become more like Jesus Christ. So the focus is acquiring something. So that's what I mean by positive. Well, this week and next week, we're going to talk about the role of the moral and theological virtues. So this week, we're going to discuss the moral virtues. Next week, we're going to discuss the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Now, this is a massive topic. You can do entire, I took an entire course on St. Thomas Aquinas' view of the cardinal virtues, the four cardinal virtues we're going to cover. So I did a semester-long course on this. I intend to do full-length, you know, series on the virtues because I love studying the virtues. We are going to introduce the virtues this week in about 12 to 15 minutes. So it's going to be very introductory, but that's okay because it's good to kind of get the ball rolling, and then we'll definitely circle back to this issue more in the future. So what we're going to talk about this week, I want to talk about what a disposition, a virtue, and a vice is. So just define our terms, and most of it this week's going to be defining terms. The really big substantive part is we're going to discuss the difference between an acquired and a infused virtue. So this will be very, very, very important, especially as we continue to study the unitive way next month, and then in the future start to discover the spiritual life as well in more detail. So it's an important distinction. Lastly, we're just going to survey the four cardinal virtues, define them, and I'll give it brief thoughts before we turn our attention, as usual, to an application. So, all right, let's jump in. So, virtues and vices. Virtues and vices are habits or dispositions of the soul. Okay. Now, what is a disposition? A disposition is an ability, tendency, or capacity that enables us to perform certain tasks and behave in certain ways. Okay. So, if you are disposed to some activity, you can do that activity readily and easily, okay? So when we develop habits and dispositions, the key thing about a habit is you can do it readily and easily, okay? There, if you're not disposed to do an activity, it's very difficult and very clunky. If you are disposed to do it, it just kind of flows. So think about any discipline, whether it's trying to learn to play the piano or play the guitar or shoot a foul shot or dribble between your legs without looking, or throw a curveball. When we are not disposed to do those activities, they are very, very, very challenging to do. Our fingers and our arms and legs just will not do what we're trying to make them do. As we develop a habit or disposition for those activities, we can do it easily. Okay. So that's the idea here. All right. So dispositions and habits. Now, there are two basic kinds of dispositions and habits, virtues and vices. A vice, let's get rid of the bad one first. A vice is a bad disposition that leads a person to act in ways that do not perfect them or help them acquire a state of well-being that a human being is capable of. So for a person with a vice, doing bad activity comes easily and they are ready to do so at a drop of a hat. That's the mark of a vicious person. So if you have a vice, that means that whatever vice you're wrestling with, or maybe a vice you've given yourself over to, it's easy for you to perform that. Okay. So think about like people who get into drugs and alcohol. Okay. I had a season in my life when I didn't make the best decisions, we should say. And I remember the first time I would try some of those things, the first time doing it was very difficult. Okay, it took like a giant act of the will to do it because I was nervous. I thought I was going to get in trouble. I didn't know how that would act or how that would how I'd react to it. The more I did those, the easier it was to do it because I started, you know, acquiring a vice to do these bad activities. When I formed my life, it was very difficult to do the right thing, but through practice, it became much easier. So when I tried to pray or get back into exercising or go to church or Bible study, it was very difficult at first. Once it became a habit, much easier. Well, when you develop good habits, good abilities, good tendencies, good capacities, those are called virtues, okay? So when a person has a virtue, it allows them to act in ways that lead to their flourishing, okay? It allows a person to act well in a way that will perfect them and in religious terms, make them more Christ-like. So virtues and vices are things that now some things can come to us more natural. Okay, so we do have dispositions and like we're just naturally good at things. That's sort of obvious. But we develop virtues and vices through repeated activity, okay? Now habits and virtues and vices, again, this is a large topic and a complicated one. Developing habits is a very difficult thing to do, but defining it's not so hard. So it's easier to understand than actually do, but we'll try to get some helpful advice for you guys on how to practice these in the future. So, all right, that's dispositions and habits, virtues and vices. What is the difference between a natural and infused virtue? So this is very important. Now, a natural, or what in the literature is sometimes called an acquired virtue, these are virtues that are acquired naturally through frequent repetition, okay? So they're just, this is kind of easy to remember, just the way it sounds, okay? So if you have a natural or acquired virtue, you acquire it through your natural ability. So if you try to learn to shoot pool well, okay, when I was in high school, we played a lot of shoot pool a lot. Through repetition, you can acquire the virtue of being a good pool player, okay, something like that. So this is different than an infused virtue. Now, what is an infused virtue? Adolf Tankery, okay, the text, The Spiritual Life we talk about all the time, which is on my bookshelf right there above my finger. He defines infused virtue this way. He says it's a principle of action which God engrafts in us, hence the infused part. So God puts it in us, that they may perform in the soul the function of supernatural faculties and may enable us to perform meritorious acts. Okay. When a person is baptized, when a person is in a state of grace, okay, God infuses the virtues into the soul. All right. Now, our ability to exercise these virtues is influenced by the decisions we made before converting, the decisions we've made since converting. So our facility to use them can be influenced by the choices we make. But the virtues themselves, these four cardinal virtues we're about to discuss and all of their sub-virtues, are infused into the soul. God, when we are in a state of grace, really gives us the real ability to fulfill the moral law, okay, to fulfill his law. So these supernatural faculties that God infuses into the soul enable us to do it. Now, maybe because we're lazy or maybe because we're carrying over bad habits from our conversion, we have a difficult time exercising them. It doesn't change the fact that they're still in there, okay? Now, what we're discovering next week, especially when I do the review, what the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity do is they reorder the person to the end or the goal of the spiritual life, which is God himself. So faith, hope, and charity attaches us to the end. But to get there, we're pilgrims in this earth, right? We have to walk. We have to live our lives. We have to take the narrow path of salvation. We have to do things to attain eternal life, to attain that end. Those are called means. The cardinal infused virtues give us the ability, okay, to fulfill God's law, to do God's will, and attain eternal life. Natural virtues can't do that, okay? So there's this heretic named Pelagius. I'm sure I've mentioned him before in this and here many times in the past. So if you've been listening for a while, I'm sure I've mentioned this. Maybe you've mentioned this unit. I just slipped my mind. Pelagius said we could naturally attain eternal salvation. False. Okay, can't do that. So play just being thought natural and acquired virtues were sufficient to get to heaven. That's false. Okay. Well, so one error, say Calvinists make, okay, is they'll say that it's not possible at all to get to heaven, right? So people don't have a real capacity to be able to do it. The freedom of the will has been extinguished. Okay. Well, that's also false. The truth of the matter is God gives grace to us. He infuses grace in our soul so that we can keep his law. And when we are in a state of grace, these infused virtues that we get give us the ability to do so. That's the idea. Okay. Now, what I just said there is too brief, but it's a theme we'll return to in the future, no doubt. So, all right. So we've defined dispositions and habits. We've defined virtues and vices. We see the distinction between a natural and infused virtue. What are these cardinal virtues? Okay. And I'm going to survey the four real quick. Now, why are these called cardinal virtues? These are called cardinal because the word cardinal comes from the Latin term, which means hinge. So the moral life hinges on these. That's why they're called cardinal. These four cardinal virtues have sub-virtues, lots of them. So when you do a deep dive into St. Thomas Aquinas's understanding of the cardinal virtues and other spiritual authors as well, they will talk about many, many, many sub-virtues that fall under these. That this will come up more in the future in this podcast as well. And I know I've mentioned in the past at times too. So these think of these four cardinal virtues as categories and their sub-virtues underneath them, okay? So each of these virtues perfect an aspect of the human person. So when we introduced the nature of the human person in this series, we talked about the intellect, the will, and the appetites, concupiscible and irascible appetites. The four cardinal virtues perfect those. So let's start with the intellect, okay? Prudence perfects the intellect. So prudence is the virtue that disposes us to see rightly the way things are in the world around us and employ a truthful vision on how to act rightly, okay? So what prudence allows us to do is discern the best course of action morally. So it gives us the ability to identify the moral law and apply it to our circumstances. So that the practical part of our intellect and where in which we have to make choices, prudence helps perfect that. So God's going to infuse prudence in the soul so that we can understand how his moral law applies to our lives. That's the idea. All right, that's prudence. Next, let's go down to will. Justice perfects the will. Justice is the virtue that inclines us to good relationships with other people to avoid collision, so to speak. Okay. It allows us to give the other his due, not just in punishment, but also in positive things too. Okay. So our wills pursue the good. We want the good. We want those things which are perfective of us. There's nothing wrong with that. However, we live in community and goods that are finite are limited. Okay. So if I have a $100 bill, not everyone can have one. Either I have it or you don't. So many temporal goods, many material goods especially, are limited. So because material goods are limited, we must share them. What justice does is it perfects the will so that we don't project our will over those of others, but it perfects the will. It gives the will a disposition, right? It habituates the will to not selfishly grab everything, but give other people their due. Okay, so it's a perfection of the will. That includes giving God his due. That's called worship. Giving your neighbor his due. And out of justice, you also give yourself your own dues. You eat food, get educated, rest, those sorts of things. Okay, so justice is our relationship primarily with others, but we can also have an application for ourselves. Next, the irascible appetite, which pursues difficult goods. That is fortitude. So virtue perfects the irascible appetite. Fortitude makes us tough. It helps us to deal with pain well, helps us to be steadfast in the things that we've committed to, living lives of virtue and such. So fortitude is very necessary. It has to be built up. This is one that's lacking in our modern culture because our modern culture makes us soft and weak, but we need to be men of courage, men of fortitude who will follow Christ no matter what the cost. So that's what fortitude does. Lastly, temperance. Temperance perfects the concupiscible appetite. Okay. So the appetite for pleasures of food, drink, and sex. As good Catholics, we don't think that pleasure is a bad thing in itself because it's not. But because of the fall, our desires for pleasures are disordered, so they have to be perfected and reordered. That's the role of temperance. Temperance inclines us to desire and enjoy pleasures well, the right amount at the right time, things like that. So those are the four cardinal virtues. They perfect the intellect with prudence, perfect the will with justice, perfect the irascible appetite with fortitude, and perfect the concupiscible appetite with temperance. What will I leave you guys with? The infused virtue. Okay, many spiritual authors, especially Reginald Gregory Lagrange, one of my favorite authors that I mention here often, he likens the infused virtues to oars that are used to row a boat. When a person is not in a state of grace, he is pushed along by the current of the world. When we are in a state of grace, God gives a man oars to row. So think of grace and the infused virtues like oars. Once you have those oars, you can start rowing, but you have to put effort into it, okay? So when we put effort into it with these oars, we can start rowing our boat to eternal life and happiness in this life and in the next one, okay? How do we develop these virtue guys? Practice. If you're in a state of grace, they are infused into your soul, so they are there. We need to gain further facility in using them. So just like the oars of the boat, some guys who don't know how to use oars, they can have them, and the boat just goes around in circles. No bueno, okay? We need to get a facility to use them. Same thing with the cardinal virtues. So, all right, we are a little bit over our time, just a little. So I'm going to stop there. I hope you guys have a blessed week. Next week, we're going to circle back around and discuss the theological virtues. So see you guys next time. God bless.